This week on Clown College.
And these guys know there's a 20% chance that it's going to be Chris Hansen, and they're still willing to gamble it, dude. Still willing to do it, knowing 20% chance. If there was a 20% chance that plane was crashing, would you get on that fucking
plane? Not even a chance.
I don't care if it was full of hot whores and Russian prostitutes. No way.
Well, okay, now you're putting it in your hand.
You're putting it like that, it may be worth it. I mean, like...
This is the Clown College Podcast. We're just a couple open micers trying to make our way through the scene.
Where we interview comedians throughout different stages of their comedy career, no matter if they're open micers, headliners, or traveling comedians.
I'm here too, Jamie 2.0. I just talk a lot more.
Damn it, Brandon.
Go sit in the corner.
We're having fun.
Yeah.
Episode
27?
I think.
Nice, dude. What's all that right. Like? Fucking 200 and dog years, man.
Roundabout.
Hell yeah.
I have no clue. What is dog years?
Okay, 7 years is like every 7 years is something. So, okay, seven
every
times
one
two,
year.
Every 1 year.
For a human is 7 years
yes,
for a dog.
Yes, my bad. Yeah. Every 1 year is 7 years for a dog.
Okay, so okay.
It sucks. It really does.
Hey, you guys notice that Brandon is clean shaven right now?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Be look at smooth. That. I'm a new man. I'm really smooth now with my face. So that's how we rolling.
Yeah. He was playing a pedophile hunter.
Yeah.
Or bait. Pedophile bait yeah, in the new.
He's the chum.
We were trying to trick him like a chameleon. You know what I mean?
He is experienced.
when we thought of this kid, dude, who else could pull off that job?
Nobody else,
man.
It was almost like he was born for that role, man.
I appreciate it.
Definitely
that.
Raised for it.
You say him. Candy, he says how high.
He does have a candy lot in there.
Oh, yeah. I'm addicted to candy, man.
Top three candies, Brandon.
Top three candies, Sour Patch Kids, Reese's. And then if you go over there, you're going to get that Yolk Peppermint Mint Patties.
Go over where? Yeah. Go over where again?
It's like you want to get a little spicy up in there, okay. A little classy.
What'd you say your first two were?
Sour Patch Kids and Reese's.
Oh, God.
M&M's was good.
Terrible to me.
Don't like mix them.
Yeah.
It's not mixed.
Ooh, no, no. Yeah. But he's like, York peppermint patties are a classy candy. The only people who I've ever seen eat York peppermint patties are people who look like their breath would stink and they didn't brush them that day. And that's why they ate that, dude. My family.
And people trying to entice kids. Yeah. That does make sense that you'd fall for.
That's crazy. That's cool. I named them naturally.
I haven't even seen a York peppermint patty in the wild in years. Wow. I'm talking about decades.
They won't be around forever.
Right?
Yeah, I haven't seen one.
They're in those little silver packages.
Yeah, I know what they are, but I'm just saying, now I'm thinking about it. I haven't seen a York peppermint patty. I mean, we know.
Or a Klondike bar.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking that.
They got rid of the Choco Taco, man, a few years back.
Was that Klondike too?
Yeah, I think so.
Man, look at that. That's great.
They get you up. I get you.
And first of all,
right?
Dude, it's called Klon Lesbian now, okay? They switched up.
Something definitely rose.
I was going to call you a fascist, but that's not what it is.
What the fuck?
What?
Look at this right here. I look over here.
Hey, yo.
The Hungarian Negro. What kind of shit?
I didn't know they had him over
and
there.
He's not even black.
No, it's Memphal.
Just the dude.
They said it's Memphal.
Just the dude.
Memphal.
Also. They probably spoke Newport.
Wild name right there.
Oh, good guess. Dude.
Good guess.
That what a wild selection. You said Reese's, York, and
That is
Sour Patch Kids. You ever had the cereal? Yeah, they got Sour Patch Kids cereal. Man.
That sounds terrible.
Let me show you what
dude.
It looks like.
In milk, man?
Oh, yeah
but dude.
Brandon, stop, dude.
Yeah, diabetes are coming, isn't it?
That's like second concern. Yeah, you're eating sour milk,
no,
man?
No, let me show you. So, look, see, this is it right here.
Oh, should they got a Kit Kat here?
That just looks
that just
terrible.
Looks like Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah. It was weird.
God, that looks so bad.
It's like fucking anal beads.
Yeah, after your second bowl, you didn't
realize. Because it tastes like ass, dude.
Oh, shit. Then the peeps up there, that was the best one. That's still the best. Like, have you
pizza?
Ever see those? No,
you
peeps.
Say,
oh.
Oh,
my God.
Not peeps. That I said sounds. Peeps. If you ever see these, definitely go out there and get them. They're really good. Like, I'm obsessed.
Well, that kind of looks like Captain Crunch.
I was going to say marshmallow.
Just like the Lucky Charms
without
the.
Yeah. Or these too.
Like, it's Lucky Charms. That's a gender reveal party.
Oh yeah, you never know. Whichever's the last marshmallow determines the kid.
I like that.
NBC will pick that up.
So what's all we got, Jack here?
Hell to
if you
is
ever...
that weed? I'm sorry. What? Is that oh, weed in the shit. Top left in the shopping section?
The Oregon flower. Sponsor. Stormy Daniels. Okay.
What the fuck is going on?
That's the strain of Stormy Daniels. Okay. I like that. Okay. Let's get some of that, dude. Tastes like piss.
Hold on. Why is that popping up? I guess it makes sense if you eat cereal.
Okay, so they that's predicting who I am because of this cereal. They're like, this fucking stoner. That's bullshit.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, dude. Oh, I know this is your podcast. Let's
shut the fuck up. I said we got. If you ever watch the pod and you wonder who does all that crazy intel, it's this guy right here, our secret weapon. We got damn Jack Douglas.
Outside of 1 week.
Yeah. Outside of what?
1 week.
Oh yeah, yeah. We had some riveting stuff on that paper.
Yeah, all six of those bullet points, dude. Half of them were right.
I want this to be known. I said, hey guys, we got to tackle this as a team. You want to know how many things JJ wrote down? Zero. How many things Brandon wrote down? You wrote down like three or four?
It was like three or four. But I got three or four. Really dig. I was like, yeah, I couldn't
find it. It was hard to find.
JJ does look like he would be in the group and take all the credit.
For sure.
Dude, that's what he did.
First of all.
And then talk shit about the person who actually found
something. There were six bullets on the fucking thing. So if Brandon did four of them, that means you only wrote down two things.
No, I didn't write down Brandon. I thought Brandon was going to ask him questions because he had the thing. But he never asked.
I should have done that. Oh, my gosh, man.
Yes, I mean, you had him on your phone. I know.
Blank.
But we grow and we learn.
Yeah.
Yes, we grow and we learn, just like this Stormy Daniels right here.
I prefer more of a conversational style.
Yeah.
I like to explore my guests.
Oh, man, that's good.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Sexually. Okay. Ask David Lynam.
Who's our guest today?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Here he is.
Oh, man. Hold up. Yeah, there you go. Drummer.
You'll find out more about that later.
Yes, you will.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that David Lynam told me once that he didn't talk about in his section of the podcast was when we went down to do Ghost Train, he was telling a story about a dildo that they would put on the front of their tour bus. That was like 2 feet long. They called it the gut wrecker.
Jesus.
Or something like that.
2 feet.
Yeah. And they would ride into town with the fucking gut buster on the front of the bus, dude.
Solid.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's what he's going to be like. Just let everybody else know. Yeah.
That's how you get that attention, man. You put it right there. People going to look. They're like, wow, that's a big one, huh?
Right. I just love when Brandon talks and they just stare at it. We were talking earlier this week about have you ever been to a gay club?
Not one that advertised itself as a gay club, but one that was like just a lot of gay people went to.
Yeah.
That's basically what Huntsville had, like in the late 2010s. It was by the train tracks. There was a club that was just a regular club, but it became. Gay club because that's who attended it.
Okay. Because we were talking about it. First time I went to a gay club. What?
And I went there. I had to explain all of that for a reason. Because I did go there a couple of times.
But it wasn't gay when I went there.
Yeah.
Because I was like, back in the day, my brother would be like, hey, let's go. He lived in San Antonio. Let's go to this gay bar. It's really fun. I was like, and this was back when I was homophobic. And so I was like, I'm not going to a fucking gay bar, right? And first of all, if you guys are looking at me weird, everybody was in this time.
It was fashionable still.
Yeah. From a small town, and black people don't like gays either. And that's all I was around. But now I'm not. So that's all that matters. But so then I'm like, I'm not going to a gay bar. A couple months go by. He's like, all right, let's go out. We went out. And I'm like, dude, this fucking place is fun as shit. We're all out there. I'm dancing, and I'm talking to these like three chicks. I'm like, oh, I'm doing good. And then he comes up, and he grabs me. He's like, I just want to tell you that this is a gay bar. I don't think those were, handmade chicks. And then so then I like look around, And it was like you know, when like your eyes, like you take your sunglasses off, and there was like rainbow stuff everywhere. And literally right behind me, there was a guy with his shirt off dancing aggressively on a pole. And I was like, oh. But it was a good time. I ain't gonna lie. They know how to party, all right?
That's good.
We stayed there for the rest of the night. Had a great time.
Hell yeah, it is a good time.
What happened on your story, JJ?
All right, dude. So when I was like 19, I went to Panama City Beach, and I went to this bar called the Splash Bar. I'm pretty sure it's still open. It's like, it is a gay bar. Like, everybody knows it's a gay bar. And I went there with my girlfriend at the time, and we had an awesome time. Like, there was this lady having her bridesmaid party. They were buying us drinks all night. We were partying. It was super fun. Ton of people there. So the next year, I go with all my dude friends, and I'm like, guys, listen, we got to go to this place called the Splash Bar. It's a gay bar, but they were like you. They're homophobic after it wasn't fashionable anymore. Shout out Blake and Josh. Oh. Yeah, yeah. And Hunter, dude, if you're still alive. So I hype it up to them. They're like, dude, it is a gay bar, though. And I'm like, bro, trust me, tons of fun. We get there, and there's an outside portion. We pay $20 each to get in. There's like maybe 5 people out there. Then we go inside, and there's maybe 10 people in there, and 2 of them are these 2 black dudes standing up on the bar, identical twins, completely butt-ass naked, shaking their dicks on the bar. And my friends, I don't think they've gotten over it yet. We stayed for maybe 5 minutes, dude. Just long enough to get the pattern down.
That's so funny.
I will say Blake, Josh, Hunter, and JJ is definitely the first names of a 1990s boy band.
Hell yeah. I'd listen.
Hunter's actually Mexican, dude.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Hunter.
Yeah. He's
a Mexican.
Yeah.
That's a wild name for him.
White dad.
Oh, white dad. Okay. Yeah.
So my Mexican. He doesn't pass, so. I'm glad you looked it up, dude.
Yeah, it was in Orange Beach?
I guess it might be. I don't think that's it, man.
Oh, damn.
It was in Panama City.
Panama City. All right, let's say Panama.
Oh, my gosh.
Panama.
That's it, the Splash Bar.
Oh, shit.
Fuck yeah, dude. Look how many people are there.
That looks like a good time. Let's go.
Dude, it was awesome the first time. I guess I just went on a slow
that
day.
That dude has his shirt off, lower right corner.
Oh, that might be me, dude.
I'm glad you had a good 3 time.
Years ago, it lines up.
There's multiple guys with their shirts off.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I swear to God, when I was at this bar.
I can't say it, but what? You see it.
What?
Jack sees it. Look in the middle, dude.
Oh, see those titties?
I see it.
Bro, how could you not?
Yeah. I like those.
Is that a Spider-Man costume, too?
I think I see Aladdin suit, shoot, too.
That one shoots webs out of his cock. Or out of his ass, I guess.
But if you're homophobic, go to a...
Only when he farts, dude.
That is 90% of our fan base.
But if you go, it'll make you not be homophobic anymore. They have a good time. Now I love all gay people. And, lesbians, I'm friends with the most. Throughout my whole life, let me and lesbians get along, dude.
Oh, I thought you meant like I'm friends with most of them.
No. Like, if I come in contact with lesbian, we're always cool. We just get each other.
Yeah,
that's
good.
I don't know why. Chill. Yeah, cool. We're always cool, and they and usually like to drink a lot. We have fun. What else we talk about, guys?
I'm going to tell you what we can talk about.
What?
We can talk about how I got the news recently that sadly the boxcar is gone now.
Oh, dude.
Man.
R.I.P. Yeah, man.
I'm really going to miss it. Well, I really wanted to come check it out. I got to check it out once, but now I was finna get ready to go more. Now it's gone. And, you know, hosting Black Panther Hidden Dragon. I'm definitely going to miss that spot.
Yeah. Damn. Rest in peace, Boxcar Bar and Grill.
Let's have a moment of silence.
Yes, let's have a moment of silence.
Brandon, if you would like to say a few words.
Okay. We're going to preach.
Did you talk to your moment of silence?
Oh, shit. Hold on. Wait a minute.
But you can't say that.
Okay. All right. There we go. Amen.
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 You're not going to say any words,
okay,
man?
Okay.
just a few.
Just a few words. You know, thank you for all you have done. And we will miss you. And we love you. And we're always here for you. And all these nice guys in front of me, we're all very sad. Look at their faces. Look how sad they look. And yeah, we're very sad. And this is not for a joke. This is like, you know how you do a laugh and you get like a little, this is how what we used to hear in the bar. You know what I mean? When you hear a good laugh. But instead of doo-doo, it was laughter. And we're going to miss that.
It's beautiful, Brett.
Thank you.
Fucking
do you
beautiful.
Clap at a funeral?
All right.
Eulogizing is in your future.
Oh, dude, he can fucking do my funeral, man. Yeah. You can do my wedding, too.
I appreciate
you. Oh, my God. That would be the best wedding of all time.
That would be crazy.
You officiating the wedding?
Oh, my gosh, man. Dude, I would be preparing, like, how many? 2 weeks? I would definitely, months in advance, man. I'd be writing pages and shit. I'd be, like, getting some research. I'd be asking you for help. I'd be like, we got to get some research on this guy.
Yeah. Somebody you've known your entire
life. I know, but I'd be like, we got to get deeper. We got to get deep.
I feel you.
Okay, I don't like how I got lower with that, but well, you know what I mean.
So, what we got going on this week?
Something big.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Oh, dude, I'm about to get to the 8th gym on Pokemon. I'm about to defeat Claire's bitch-ass dragon-type Pokemon.
Jesus Christ.
Oh. You're like 500 hours in. How is that all your
own? Dude, because I like to take my time. Okay, I like to talk to every person. I want to catch every Pokemon. I don't care if I have 35 of this fucking Squirtle, dude. I need more.
What's your starting lineup looking like?
Oh, right now? Oh, well, we've got an HM Slave, which if you know Pokemon, you know what that means, dude. Corsi. That's all my HMs to get me to break the rock, surf, fly. For some reason, you can ride a fucking piece of coral into the sky in Pokemon, dude. Doesn't make any sense. Feraligatr, I named him Fang, dude. Got a Crobat, call him Wingdings. And then my Golem, his name is Robert.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and then the Sudowoodo that they make you catch.
Sudowoodo? What is
he's
that?
He's a tree that punches people. He likes to fight. He's a tree.
So he's like Mike Tyson.
An Ent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
I was like, that was a different language. I got to get into this game.
You shit's tight, dude. Defeated Whitney's Miltank, notoriously
you
the
know
hardest
what he's talking
fight
about? Pokemon
in early stage yeah, of a Pokemon sort of game.
I mean, I played it, but I don't remember these things that he's.
He's like two generations past where we were.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
He's like Gen Z.
Gen Z Pokemon. Yeah.
That well, it's Johto. It's second region. It's a remake of an older game. The ones that came out after Red and Green.
Hit up Jonathan Silver if you need a link.
Oh yeah, dude. He airdropped me all the files, man. He's fucking got them. Whatever you want.
I need them. Help me out.
Shout out to Homegrown. They had JJ was on it. What?
Nothing, dude.
It did good.
I sneezed.
JJ, Dan Price, Min, and Alex Z Headline. It was a good show.
Oh, yeah.
I brought some friends out. They had a good time.
I asked Dom's friend's brother if he ate pussy right in front of her, and she didn't like that very much.
Did he?
He did. He said he gave the right answer. I got the room to give him a round of applause, but that's not enough for some people, dude. I'm telling you, man, white women can't fucking stand them.
I'm clipping this out, getting a showing it to her.
I can't say her name.
Yeah.
But
they have families and such.
Yeah. Happy
don't
Mother's
be associated
Day.
Associated with this.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Happy fuck
Mother's
you.
Day. Oh yeah, it is Mother's Day.
Yes, it is.
Happy What's Mother's Day.
Dude, how did we not bring that up, dude?
Yeah.
Shout out to all the good moms out there.
Hell yeah.
Thank
fuck you,
Mom.
To all the bad ones. I tell you to go suck a dick, but you probably already are.
Damn, that is true.
Huh?
No, I get what he's saying, man. Because the bad, like, there could be some bad moms out there. Like, hey, go suck a dick.
Not every mom's a good mom,
dude. Yeah. Yeah, but there's some bad ones out there actually doing what he's saying.
But he's saying you probably already are, and you said that is true.
Wait, probably already. Okay, hold on.
Brandon's a mom.
No, wait. Probably already are what?
Sucking dick.
Okay, no, 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 no. So what? I thought he was talking about the bad moms.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, probably. Like in a bathroom or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, they might be. You never know.
I don't know if my mom would be considered a good mom or a bad mom. She was okay.
There's mid moms, dude.
Mid moms.
My mom overachieved. She was a 16-year-old mom.
Damn.
Raised me, dude. Overachiever.
Awesome, yeah. Fuck yeah.
And now she's a doctor.
No,
not
shit.
Like one of those doctors that makes money, but like
doctor, dude.
Still a PhD.
Hell yeah. Round of applause.
Hold on, let me get
Jack's mom.
Hell yeah.
For her accomplishments, not for her son.
Happy Mother's Day.
Hell yeah.
Hold on. To mothers.
Hell yeah. Fucking Coors Light. That's what good mothers drink.
The least severe cases of fetal alcohol syndrome come from Coors Light.
With those mountains turning blue. All right. Well, that's all we got for today. That went by fast.
What is big this week? There's some.
I'm sorry, guys. You really forgot?
I thought you were fucking around.
What?
You really forgot?
No, I knew, but I wanted to do the Pokemon joke. I thought it was going to be funnier than it was. It went on for too long. And I apologize. I liked that, dude. I forgot I was surrounded by old people, dude.
Except for me, man. I just got to get into
it. But you have your own thing going on, dude.
All right.
Being the fucking best, dude.
Oh, thank you.
The live show, Killer Clowns. Please, sold 12 tickets.
12 tickets. A lot of ass. 12 tickets. Yeah, please come out, guys.
Please.
If you're out there, we need you. It's going to be fun. We just shot the skit, and I will say, that's definitely our best skit.
Dude, the skit's actually really good.
It's so good. Dan Price is the cop.
Oh, my God.
Kills it.
On Phone Him Grave.
You know, I got to put that in the... I got to put that
the
in
the blooper
there.
Reel.
Yeah, the blooper reel. For when them grave and then Brandon's the bait.
Yeah.
Were his dumb sidekicks. And then went really just good. Exactly as you thought it was. And we have a surprise pedophile.
Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Surprise pedophile casted. Yep.
It's the ones you least suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Or most suspect.
I was going to say, if you've seen them, probably most suspect. All right, guys.
This week's featured comedian.
I told my wife I was coming up here to do 4 minutes tonight. She goes, make sure you do 4 minutes. Don't do 30 seconds and call it 4 minutes. She's a bitch, you know? People think 4 minutes isn't a long time, but you've never my wife, you know?
Dude, this is cool. I like this setup. Like, this is, you got a switcher that switches all these.
So I do it at post.
In post. That's what we do. Every camera's hot.
Yeah.
We go back in post. And they've got this software that grabs, it knows who, when you start talking, it knows what camera to go to. So there's not much to clean up.
So
our producer wrote software that does that shit.
Oh, it's crazy, shit. Dude.
What the fuck? Y'all writing in memorizes code?
Yeah, it memorizes your voice, and it knows, it's like some AI thing, and it memorizes your voice, and as soon as you start talking, it cuts to you. So he just, I mean, unless somebody says something terrible, you know, he has to go back and take it out.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We usually leave the terrible stuff in, but
no,
we'll cut it.
Well, we don't have a career to lose yet.
Right? Yeah.
It'll be real bad in about, you know, being generous 5 years when we have 1,000 subscribers.
Almost there. Well, we got 300 or something.
Yeah,
there's a lot of noise out there, dude.
Oh yeah,
true.
JJ,
yes,
we got a special guest today, don't we?
We do. We do, man.
We're rolling. You aren't kidding, huh?
Oh, yeah.
We're awesome. In this, dude. Right. We get up in there, dude. Yeah, this is our third out-of-towner in a month after having none for 25 episodes.
Yep.
this guy, he's one of the hardest-working people in the Alabama comedy scene. He runs the comedy break-in brand of show productions, the Sandbar in Orange Beach.
Let's go.
Ghost Train, Velma's in Trussville.
Those.
There's some other ones. Hack and Forth, which is coming to Shenanigans August 24th.
That's right.
Oh, shit.
I can't wait for y'all to be a part of that.
Dude. Oh, so much we're coming out.
Anything you need.
We're coming out.
Y'all get it. Like, part of that show is like when you have, when you,
a lot of comics will go up there and bomb on purpose so they can, we can come out of the gate and be like, man, we wanted to kill ourselves during your set because we're all buddies. And the crowd doesn't know that. They just think we hate each other.
Yeah.
It's what's so funny. They're like, oh my God, that's what everybody was thinking. But we're like, man, we're, it's like wrestling, you know? Mm-hmm. After the match, we all go out and get a beer afterwards. It's, hey, it's really a fun show.
It's all for show.
And I got some good jokes that'll bomb hard.
Yeah, hey, man. I've been building a catalog of them myself for 9 to 10 months.
That's when we got to cash in our agreement, dude. You remember the agreement we made about the jokes we're going to use?
Yeah, I got you.
We have, each of us have a joke that doesn't work. But, like, not only does it not work, it turns the entire room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it soils
the room. It'll walk people.
Bad.
So we said we're going to do it on the same show. That'll be it.
That'll be the show, dude. It's so much fun. The reason I love this show is it makes comics better. You see them every week at Mike's. They're just robotic and they tell their jokes and they don't ever go well. And you're like, what is this guy's real life like? Well, we force them over the mic to open up and we see them. It's not crowd work, but it's kind of like them dipping their toes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you really get to see some of these guys really are funny, but they're just not themselves on stage. They're trying to be a comedian when they tell these jokes. They don't know about pausing or building tension and releasing. None of that. But you get a look at their real personality, and this show's like, it showcases it. And I don't care if it makes a dime. Like, it helps comics so much. Mm-hmm. And people make fun of it. Of course, first time people see it, they're like, oh, what is this Kill Phony? What is this dollar store Kill Tony you got? But we only take one aspect of that show and do it. And even that, we change it. We don't spend 15 minutes talking to you. None of us have a career that's worth 15 minutes talking about, you know? So it's like, what are we going to unpack? And so we'll spend like 2 minutes and we move it along. And if somebody does good, we just move it along anyway so the next comic can ride that wave.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I love it. We're doing like a similar, we have a live show on the 17th, and we're doing like half of it is like pod. It's a live pod, and then we'll have some skits. And then after that, we're doing bucket pulls with 2 minutes of stand-up and then interview. And then they get the pies in the face because we're clowns.
Yeah.
That's great. There's no telling how many comics on this scene want to be on this podcast anyway. And they're probably looking forward to it as an opportunity to be on the show.
Yeah, and it'll be streamed. Sure. And we're going to use that for the episode. It'll be next episode. So we're going to use that for the episode and clean it up and have the audio and all that shit really good.
Who's the audio engineer for that?
Well, Kim just has it's at Shenanigans.
Okay.
So Kim has the mixer, and I just put the SD card in there.
You gotta have a crowd mic to pick up laughter.
Yeah, so we'll have Alex's mic has the boom mic attached to it, the shotgun mic, and I'll get back in between those and get the crowd noise in there.
Yeah. We're thinking about making a podcast out of it, but it's so hard to do because some comics are like, I don't want, you know, this is shit I'm working on, man. I take this serious. And I was like, yeah, but because I want to make a promo video. The problem is all of our back and forths with the comics, we reference their set. And if their set's not a part of it, then what we're saying is not as funny out of context.
You okay.
Because we reference something they said in the 2 minute mark in their set. And if you didn't hear their set, it's like, what are they even talking about? So, but we've talked to comics and they're like, if we get a good interaction and we have to release your set, we'll just ask them, hey, can we release this set as promo to get this show out there on the road? That way you might can have a gig on a Friday or Saturday when you don't have a gig.
Yeah. Know? And then whenever they release a set, people think it's like burning material. Well, really, it's not.
No.
You know, it's getting you, like you said, it's going to get you spots. And then, you know, you can do the same material. It's not like everybody in the room is going to know that one joke.
And even if they do, people come to it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The machine, people still want to hear that ridiculous ass story. Over every time he closes with it, I'm like, who in this crowd has not heard this damn story? But it's not about that. They love it and want to hear it. Mm-hmm. So if you have a killer joke in your set, there's just two ways of looking at it. And you're right. That is one of them is to, you know, who cares at this stage? If somebody liked your joke, you should be really happy that anybody liked it.
Exactly.
Because I hate all my material. As soon as I get it down and it's tight and I like it, and I'm like, oh, man, why can't I write something that's not filthy? Why does everything have to be about cum jokes and dick jokes?
Exactly.
My wife's dad came to the show last night, and I was like, oh, my God, half my set's about fucking his daughter. Like, this is crazy. And he's front row center, and I just couldn't deliver it the way I like to deliver it because he's up there. I can just see him shaking his head. Like, it was miserable. And I don't want to – I want to be flexible enough to be able to do a clean set, like as a challenge.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm trying to work on
it. It is a challenge.
It is a challenge.
It is.
like you got to get like observational comedy, you know, a little bit something like that to
yes.
to
but mix in there. But our brains are programmed to go towards our dick.
And that's what makes us laugh.
I know. Yeah. That's the problem, man. And you know what really made me want to do it is going and seeing Nate Bargatze last night. Oh, I was like, awesome. Man, look at how effortless it is for him. And look what he did. He sold out a 7 o'clock show, 18,000 seats, sold it out. I went to the 3 o'clock show, and I've been there countless times to see Bill Burr and people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he had almost half of the upper deck filled. So he almost sold out the second show at 3 p.m. Do you know how much cheese that is, guys?
Ooh. A lot.
God almighty. Come on. I bet you he's like, you can have them dicks jokes, son. I'll be up here.
Yeah, and everybody can go to his show and love it. Even if you do like dick jokes and all that shit, his shit's still funny. It's gold. Funny. It's gold material.
His dad murdered too.
His dad was out there?
Yeah, the magician.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he brought his dad for this one, and he does very little magic. He's just funny walking around the stage. And really, it's mostly bits. His only magic trick he does is at the very end, and everybody claps for him. But he kills, man. His dad is great as a comic. I don't think he's ever done it. I think the biggest thing he's ever done is like a 15-20 minute set, but he killed. His dad was great.
Damn.
It's wild, dude. I cannot imagine doing stand up with my dad. That's for sure.
Oh, I know.
We'd be canceled immediately, dude.
Yeah. Because of how your dad is.
He's wild as shit. No, he's wild.
Tell him how he sleeps.
Oh, okay. So my dad sleeps fully clothed. And I'm not talking about like.
Like pass out fully clothed? Shoes on?
Like a soldier, dude. Like a fucking soldier. Right on his back. And when I say fully clothed, I mean, he has like extra clothes on with a hat and sunglasses every night.
That's why.
Just like laying there. I don't ever know if he's asleep or not. I can't tell.
Is he just one of these? Where did this spawn from? Just wanting to be able to get up and go?
Dude.
Be at work? Like,
yes. He's a workaholic, dude.
That's the sign of a workaholic, sleeping in clothes.
Gosh, dude. Just always ready, man.
Yeah.
What does he do when he wakes up every day?
He gets a ladder, gets on top of his house with a leaf blower. This is at like 4 or 4:30 in the morning. Blows all the leaves off his room every morning and every night before he goes to bed, every single day.
I love him.
Is his neighbors like really concerned?
Or he's got a bit of land, so there's some separation, but it's still insane.
Is it the OCD-ness of wanting a clean roof?
I think so.
It's gotta be.
Do you so? What is JJ carried from that bloodstream?
Well, I went to his graduation. Right, he just graduated. He walks like a serial killer. Okay. He doesn't move his arms. He doesn't have facial expressions. They might both be father and son serial killer.
I'm not gonna say that. I'm not gonna be the guy that's like, yeah, me and my dad, we kill people, dude.
We got definitely a neighbor think about you don't it. Like?
Slide the addy this way, dude. We'll take care of him.
That's great, man. That's all it tells me is that you have to, all of his weirdness, you have to have some of it. So I was like, what if your friends picked up on this? Like, you know, you're getting to be a lot like your dad, and you'll get worse at it as you get older.
Oh, my gosh, dude. If I'm like that, shoot me, man. Oh,
well, when he drives in the car, roof. He doesn't listen to any music or anything.
Okay.
Silence.
Sometimes. I'll just drive. Like, I drove to Auburn a couple weeks ago, 4 hours there, didn't play anything.
You hear that?
Just sat there in the car.
I was like that playing music. I'd do 4 hours and have, you know, in-ears on the whole time. When I got done with my shows, I would love silence. But it is the sign of a serial killer, right? who doesn't play music and prefers the silence.
Come on, man.
Hey, who likes to be alone with their own thoughts? I had this shit so bad the other day. I left my phone in my room and ran to go shit, and I was alone with my thoughts for 3 minutes, dude. I thought I was going to die. I was screaming for somebody to throw a newspaper under the door or something.
Because
I
was like
in there stuck with my own thoughts. 2 hours to Auburn, just like, what were you doing, writing bits in your head? Or?
I do go over my sets in my head. Like on the when I did the X5 showcase, which is
May 30th.
Yeah, May 30th.
Yeah.
Yeah. When By I was way, on the guys, way down there.
Hey, just real quick, we are going to have an absolute huge, huge, huge comic at the end of the night. And they won't even tell me because they know my ass to get on this podcast and tell y'all.
Hell yeah.
We had Jim Norton, and he had to bump to go do something else. Now we got somebody bigger than Jim Norton that's going to close the show.
Bigger than Jim.
I'm going to go down there.
So, like, it's free tickets. Listen to me when I tell you this. It's free tickets. If you use promo code X5, go get them right now. You will be kicking yourself in the ass if you miss this guest.
At the Stardome, Birmingham.
It's at the Stardome.
And the wings are good. if you're fat.
I'm not bragging about their food, but I'll tell you, this is a big
I took a 45-minute shit after those wings, dude. Really? Yeah, normally I take an hour.
Dude, I want to tell you about this. So we do research on the comedians when they come on, and I went and listened to your song, Cold.
Oh, yeah?
Dude, I'm telling you guys, banger. The band name is Lineham.
That's right. We were last in line when they were giving out band names. It's all they had left. Trust me, it's been misspelled. Hyman, Lyman.
We have a collection. Have that in the notes. Yeah. We have that in the notes, a collection of the misspelled band names.
Yeah, which one do you like?
We have a collection of posters of beer vendors and venues and pictures of like the Whiskey Go-Go in L.A. with our name just butchered. You can't even tell it's our name. I'm surprised we moved any tickets the way they spelled it up that front.
We got Lyman, Lyman, Lyman.
Yeah.
Lyman.
I've heard all these, dude. And I roll with them, too. If you say it like that, I'm like, yeah, that's me. What's the sense in correcting it? It's spelled just like it sounds.
Yeah.
L-Y-N-A-M.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, trust me, if I could switch last names, I would have done it. But I don't. You may have to take this out in post, but we're about to announce the day before that shenanigans. We're doing a show at Mars Music Hall that we haven't announced yet. So people right now only think we're doing this arena show in British Columbia, Canada, at this arena out there in Kelowna.
Look, we got people on here doing arenas, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's right. Not for comedy. Don't get it twisted. Trust me, I could clear an arena if I did 5 minutes on top of that show. But yeah, we've got that. It's going to be August 23rd at Mars Music Hall. And we did this show last year and did 1,200 tickets there. So
damn.
Let me just say, what's funny about comedy, dude, is that one, the camaraderie we all have. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to know y'all super well that we could just sit around and talk for hours. I always enjoyed that, being in a band. And when I quit playing music to do the comedy full time, which is a terrible idea. If you're supporting a family out there, if you're thinking about doing that, don't do it. But luckily, I'm able to provide for my family doing other businesses. So and the podcast affords me the ability to do comedy and not need the money. So the thing about comedy is so funny is nobody on this scene, nobody gives a shit or even knows I was in a band. And I love it that way. I don't want to be treated like people treat me in the music industry. I'd love to go into it because I know whether I'm funny or not. People are brutally honest with me. Mm-hmm. They don't give a shit. None of the – we went outside of the Stardome, a Lyman fan, this girl came up. And she was like trembling, coming up to talk to me in front of the other comics. Now I'm sitting there talking to them, and she's like, "Oh my God, you are like my favorite drummer." And they don't know anything about this past life of mine, you know. Uh-huh. And they're looking at her like, "This piece of shit that bombs regularly on mics, and you're like a fan of his." And she's and they were like, "What band did you play in?" They start asking questions. Now they are all starting to know. Like a year into my career in comedy. Now, of course, whether they like the music or not, but they do realize that came from something. And so many people come up to me in public now are like, "Why did you quit doing something you were so successful at to do comedy?" I was like, "You've never gotten up in front of people and told a joke and heard a roar."
Yeah.
Once you hear that, it's like heroin, man. You'll never quit.
You never quit. It'll go. I mean, it's so addictive, man.
And I like to think that I've killed before. I've never killed, by the way. I've just gotten some pops. I've gotten some laughs, and that's all it took.
I seen you. I loved you had a the first time I seen you was at Stand Up Live, and you did a Smash Mouth joke.
Yeah,
and you looked around. You were like, "Oh, so he just died,
right?"
Oh, everybody here's a fucking Smash.
Yeah, y'all love that song, you degenerate losers. Yeah. I can't believe you. I love that song.
I was laughing like a motherfucker.
Yeah,
dude. I'm the first time I ever met you was at Cahaba in Birmingham, and I think that was like right after we both kind of first started. We started around the same time.
To be within
time.
Like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I started like July 1st of last year.
Oh, first show was during the pandemic, June 6th.
Oh, what's that? My first comedy show?
Yeah, your first comedy show.
Huh. June 6th. Yeah. I went up at an open mic. It was the first time I went up. Yeah, it was in Oxford, Mississippi. We were playing a private event, and they like, "Y'all got to be set up by 7 o'clock. We're doing an open mic here." And everybody in the band goes, "Hey, you've been talking shit for a while. You want to get up and do it?" I sat behind my drum kit and did my whole set.
Oh, shit.
And so this is how terrible it was. This is, I'm embarrassed to say this, but you know, after I did a punchline on the drum set, I'm so mortified at it. But it did get a little bit of a pop, like, "Oh, that's not fair. We don't get to do that shit."
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, it was one of those. Looking back, I'm mortified, but like I was still comfortable doing it because I was behind a kit. The first time I got out in front of the kit and was just out there, it was like I've never been on stage before in my life. I was shitting blood, dude. I was so nervous.
It's a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about being alone with your thoughts earlier. Now you're alone with your thoughts in front of a room full of people waiting to hear them. It's like crazy. It's crazy to think about.
When you suck as a band, you can kind of be like, it's a little him. It's a little him. Maybe a little me. It could be the singer. Well, you kind of share the guilt of a bad night.
Not in this.
Yeah. Not in this, buddy. Nobody else to blame. You can be like, that crowd sucked. Nobody. Yeah. You'll see in about three comics from now that crowd's just fine. And they'll go up there and they'll fucking level the room. You'll be like, well, maybe it was me, you know? But my pit started sweating. Even... like, people would come up to me after my sets in the beginning and be like, you've been doing this for like 5 years? You seem so calm. And I was like, hell no. I can see these little tails I do where I'd be bouncing my leg up and down a bunch. Mm-hmm. And now in hindsight, I realize people will look at that and they won't even listen to your jokes. They're like, what's going on? This guy got Parkinson's? What's going on with his leg? But at the time, I appeared to be calm, but I was having a nervous breakdown inside, dude.
Yeah, when I saw you had to be only like, maybe a month or two in that stand-up. I mean, you couldn't have been doing it that long, and I thought you were experienced comic for a long time.
I was whipped cream in a turd, buddy. Internally, there was a dumpster fire going on in my body, dude. In my head, at least, for sure.
Yeah, so where was your first open mic, like, starting in, like, the Birmingham scene?
Right before the pandemic hit, I went up to one in... Crestwood, right in front of True Story Brewing. It's a place called Crestwood Tavern, and it was terrible. I mean, I've blocked it out of my head. You know, you're asking me about it, and
bringing back memories.
Yeah,
it's what we do here.
Yeah, this is like a therapy session. Your uncle quit till y'all got me crying on this camera. But that's the first one I remember, and then you know what motivated me to start doing mics. And of course, everybody said, "Hey, listen. If you're going to do anything, you got to just start your own mic."
Mm-hmm.
I saw, I don't want to mention his name, but I saw a guy that runs a mic not let a comic finish a joke because it had to do with Hitler or something. And he was still in the building of the premise part of the joke. Mm-hmm. He was his very first time up, and he played him off and was like, "Not at my mic. You're not going to do any jokes about that." I was like, oh, no. No, man. That guy, I went up to him. I was like, that's not right, dude. You didn't even finish the joke. My rule is, and will forever be, if it's not funny, that's your punishment. It's not funny.
Yeah, that's true.
And that stings enough, buddy. Mm-hmm. Those stay with you for years sometimes, you know? Yeah. I was like, well, I'm gonna do a mic that this feels like a show. I'm going to do a mic where everybody has walk-up music. And I'm going to get a QR code. And like, if you like the comic, you can follow him. If you hate him, you can still follow him, see where he's at. Don't show up there, you know? Mm-hmm. I tell people at mics now, following these comics is as good as tipping them. So just if you'll follow them, it costs nothing.
Yeah, oh,
just
for sure.
Aim your camera at this TV and follow them. But then I just started getting obsessed with the production side of things. But
it takes away from your comedy, like writing.
True.
It does. That's the downfall of it that I'm now realizing. Mm-hmm. And now I'm trying to hand this thing off like a hot potato. But in the beginning, there were two mics in Birmingham. That was it.
For real.
And then I just went on a rampage. And now there's one every day of the week except for Friday and Saturday. And I'm trying to add to that. I'm trying to put one at least on a Friday or Saturday. Even though it's an open mic, that's all Hack and Forth is. It's a spicy one. Like it feels like a show. The audience, it makes them feel like a show. I want to make it an event. But it does. It pulls so much time away from writing. And I'm terrible at just sitting in a room by myself trying to come up with bits.
Oh,
I have to be talking with y'all. And sometimes I'll be talking with my comedy friends, and I'll be like, I'll be right back. And I'll go put something in my phone. But that's the only way I come up with ideas. Now, I can go home once I have an idea and start.
And then, write it out.
But I cannot just sit in a room with my thoughts and like.
Yeah. I need these guys that are like, they'll be like, write that down. You know, because sometimes you're just saying something that you're just talking about from your past or whatever, and they're like, that's funny. You need to write that down. You don't even think to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have we all forgotten more jokes than we remember?
Oh, God. Yeah. If I don't write it down immediately.
Ain't no way I'm sleeping on this one. Like, I will go to bed. This is so funny. When I wake up, I'm going to write it down.
Oh, you don't ever remember.
I would be, my career, man, I'd be doing arenas right now if I remembered all the jokes I forgot, you know, in a moment of. I had one the other day so good, and it haunts me to this day. I don't even know what it was. You know what it feels like? Tenacious D, the greatest song in the world, where the one they didn't write down, yeah, and forgot it, and so they had to write one about it. That's what I feel like my whole act is now. It's just jokes about the one that I forgot. You know, I cannot remember them.
I'll tell you what sucks just as much is when you're really hyped about one, you got it written down, and you look at it the next day, and you're like, this fucking sucks. This
I do that on mushrooms. Shit. Like, I feel like mushrooms really, really does make me funnier and like a comedic. But sometimes, one out of 10 times, the next day I wake up, I'll be like, are you like mentally disabled? Like, what is your problem thinking that? There's no way to make that funny, you know?
You go up on stage on mushrooms.
No.
Or you have?
No, I want to. But every time I'm about to, I'm like, even out with Laser, I was like, his crowd would be very receptive to somebody going up on mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Cassie was like, don't do it. Don't do it. And I was like, God, he petrifies me. He's been doing comedy since NOM. So what am I going to be like? No, man, you don't know Cassio. Better. Yeah. You don't know better. I know better. I'm still going to do it. I'll say something and get everybody canceled on the show, you know? I don't know. But I love mushrooms. Like, in a band touring for years, I drank more than anybody ever could.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just can't handle those hangovers at 47. You're all young shits right here. Y'all can still do it and bounce back.
I'm not that young.
He's getting there.
Are you the old man in the group? Yeah, that's what I am in my group.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
They were like, hey, man, on our text thread yesterday, they were like, God dang, David, those were good seats. I was second row to Nate Borgazzi in there. And another comic fired in. He has to be that close. He can't see or hear them if he's fucking five rows back, you know? So it's always old jokes. Yeah.
All of my mentors in comedy are at least 4 years younger than me.
That's great. At least. That's great. Yeah, I'm the old man too. And it doesn't make sense to start this career at 47. It's the crazy.
But you like it. That's why it makes sense.
Oh, I ain't ever quitting.
Yeah.
That first time I got a pop at Stand Up Live on Cassio show, that 5-minute set I did opening up for him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I may never play drums again, or I may, but I'll for sure be doing comedy till I die. Yeah. Speaking of, rest in peace, James Gregory just died. He was doing sets like 2 or 3 months ago. He was doing. My mom went to see him just a few months ago.
Oh shit!
And he died what, like 2 days ago?
Oh, I didn't even know that. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Y'all know who he is, right?
I'm searching it up.
James Gregory. Oh, the picture. He doesn't photograph well in his last few years of.
Oh, yeah.
The funniest man in America. Huh. Yeah.
Oh, damn. He went all the way till the end.
He looks pretty rough in those pictures, huh?
Yeah.
I don't think you can Photoshop that. But you know what? We can do this shit till we die. That's what it tells you. Literally, just a couple months before he passed away, he's out doing Stardom show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hell yeah.
It's dope.
Yeah, dude.
He had 4 million views on his newest special on YouTube.
Damn. I hadn't even watched it. What year is that?
2022.
Oh, wow.
2022.
I think so. I think that's.
What's I need to see that. It's my mom's favorite comic.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I text her when it hit my phone right in the middle of a show. My mom comes to all my shows.
Oh, that's nice.
Dope.
That's
awesome.
All my open mics, she's at every single one of them, and I have like some material I want to do about her, but it's pretty disparaging. Like, mm-hmm. And she, you. What's so funny about these comics is they, y'all see them too. Like, there's just. Comics with like mental illness going on.
Sometimes you're scared. You're like, is this guy okay?
Oh, hell yeah.
I know. I'm afraid to turn. Like, there's a guy that just refuses to sign up for my mics, but he shows up for all of them. I am terrified to send him away because he just has that school shooter vibe.
Yeah.
Ooh. And so I feel like, man, we'll squeeze you up. Just remember when you're reading your manifesto, remember your boy. You know? You know, just don't forget about me.
We were talking about a guy earlier from your scene, man, your neck of the woods. He talks about beating up his mom on stage.
Brags about it and looks my mom dead in the eyes while he says it, by the way. He does sets down here, too.
Yeah.
And the room tightens up
when you do that, you know?
It's almost like that's an insane thing to say. Like, that's not even close to being funny.
Yeah.
I
feel like it could be.
That's what's such a roller coaster ride about open mics, because you're like, everybody needs to have a voice. Everybody needs to get up. But if you've got a show coming up 2 weeks from now and you're trying to iron out a tight 5 or 10,
mm-hmm.
if I put you up after that guy, there is nobody to do it to. You're back to just doing your set in front of us.
Yeah.
Which, if I had a nickel for every time I've done my set in front of Just Comics, I'd have like $15 at least.
But you have to.
Right.
You have to tighten that set up.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to acknowledge when somebody says something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I was hosting, and that guy did the joke about beating his mom, and I went back up, and I was like, yeah, whatever the fuck that was. He's talking about beating up his mom or something.
Yeah.
You have to, like, create that levity in the room, because, like, it sucks all the energy out, and people are like, ooh, I don't want to laugh at anything now.
I know. I have to – I'll go up and tell them. I was like, by the way, y'all, this is what happens when you don't pay for comedy. That's what I say when I go. I was like, it's free to get in, but let me look at y'all. It's $10 to get out of here, so you got to stick around. Don't let a guy like that drive you out of here. And if he comes up to me, he's like, why'd you say that shit? I'll be like, because you didn't. Now somebody has to acknowledge it because you didn't say, hey, taking swings up here, that didn't go too well. Yeah. Like, you didn't even, you were just like, yeah, that's my time, and get down. And like, everybody in here feels like dad just slapped mom at the dinner table, and there's nobody going to acknowledge this tension that's in the room. I've got to go up there and say something. Like, hey, man, that's the kind of set that'll make you want to quit. Am I right, gang? And everybody's like, yeah, thank you for saying it. Thank you. We're all thinking it. And that's what's so funny about comedy. You have to say what the room's thinking sometimes to get a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're hosting your own mic. Are you doing it by yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's a lot to do by yourself.
I mean, the one I do, it's kind of just like rough and tumble. It's loosey-goosey.
It's a true workshop mic. Like, you can get up there and, just there's, an idea.
There's
and get
a crowd.
Up.
There's always random people there. And you got to win them over.
You got to work. They will look at you.
There'll be an ambush by the mic. Is that what it?
They always have live music there, so there's always something on the stage.
Yeah.
But since it's always live music, they don't get comedy. Probably this is the only one. Yeah. So they kind of ambush.
I do. I have rooms offer me to do comedy, and I just go and look at them first. I'll go spend whatever night they're thinking about doing. I'll go look at the room and just check out the vibe of the room and be like, he wouldn't like it. She definitely wouldn't like it. He wouldn't like it. I just look, and that's the kind of patrons that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have a side room that we can just have, and I don't care how small it is, the mic we run out in Montgomery, if y'all ever get a chance to go down to that one, it is so awesome. It's the tiniest. I swear, it's not much bigger than this room.
Is it
Aviator Bar?
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there before, Aviator Bar.
Awesome. It's down in that, when go down the stairs,
uh-huh.
You can go down and back up a little bit. That little room in the middle right there.
Oh, okay.
It is so tiny that, and here's what's cool about it. It has a perception as you're walking by that there's something big time going on, because the comics give the people in the room, because there's only like 18 chairs that you can sit in. They line up in the hallway before they go up and walk, look in. Well, from down this way on the bar, it looks like, what is going on there? Everybody's kind of looking in that room, and people just file in. It's always packed, and it's always like a little sardine. It's like a telephone booth.
That's perfect.
But the smaller you can get a room for open mics, the better. And because it doesn't take much to fill it up. And the ceiling's really low, and it's like a bunker with sandbags all around you. It's such a cool setup.
Don't tell Jake that, because every time he goes in a room, no matter where we are, he's like, oh, the ceilings are so low here.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ceilings.
It makes for a great room, though, man. It really does.
That's why Pleasures is so good, man.
Yeah.
It's it. We do it.
Is that where the dildos are? Like,
oh, yeah.
You're doing comedy in front of dildos.
Dildos box.
It's hard not to become a prop comic with that all around you, you know?
I put stuff up there.
Right? Of course, yeah.
We had a dick extender this time. I didn't know they made those. It was a dick extender, 10 inches. So if you guys want that, it's at Pleasures.
Good deal.
You know, I 10%
off on Tuesdays.
Like, this is just the overflow. So it's not the stuff that's out there on the shelves. This is the overflow stuff. I just look through it and then put stuff up there. So comics, if they don't have nothing, they can just
riff on that.
Yeah, riff on that.
That's great. Cassio said that mic's great. He came by recently and did it.
At Pleasures?
If he was there, I wasn't there.
He does the Cannibar mic on Monday.
Yeah. Oh, we know why he goes to that one. He tells me that, too. He's like, man, I'm going to go up there and talk about the showcase, but really, I'm just going up there to get high. I may not even do a set. He says he doesn't always do a set when he's up there. Oh, he said Shuley got up at one of the mics, and the host was like, there's a guy coming up to the mic next. I've never heard of him.
No.
But he's like, I guess he's a new comic. Y'all make some noise for Shuley.
I wonder who that – it wasn't me.
Was it at Cannibar?
I would have to assume so, but I don't know.
If it was at Cannibar, it had to be Nico then.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Nico, and Nico said, there's a brand new comic, I guess, going up for the first time.
That's Shuley.
They had to go tell him afterwards. Yeah, it's a guy that's done gigs with Dice Clay and shit.
Wow.
Like
I was on the stand-up showcase, and he was the headliner for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool as shit. I mean, just the coolest dude in the world.
He's funny.
Because I was like, you know, it's true. So I'm like, hey, man, you want where you want to sit? Because I was just sitting down on the couch. He was like, man, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to eat these wings standing up on the on the microwave, and we're cool.
We had him on the pod. He's got two stories that he told on the pod that are so great about opening up for Dice and how Dice will fuck with you. He'll be like, I want you to go out there. I'm doing a terrible diet. But he's like, I want you, how about you go out there and tell them about the walkout song I'm coming out to? It's my kid's band. And he's like, he goes, yeah, do it for 3 minutes, you know? And he's like, I got 15 minutes of material I was going to do. He's like, eh, just talk about, go out there and ask them what they like hockey. Because it's in Canada, the show is.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh my God. So talk about, ask them what they like hockey and then tell them about the walkout song I'm coming out to. And he's like, oh, my God. Because he knows Dice's fans are, like, real quick to be like, get the fuck off this stage.
Uh-huh.
So he goes, everybody here like hockey? And people are like, they're already turning on him. They can sense it just by asking that stupid question. We're from Canada. Of course, we like fucking hockey. And then he goes into the bit about the song he's going out to, and the just the audience goes crazy. They're like, get the fuck up. It's so funny, man. He's got so many good Dice stories about. Dice don't give a fuck, man.
Yeah, I love that about him. Shit on social media. He just goes up and just puts people through hell. I don't know if you've seen him on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, when he's like, you want a picture with the million-dollar face? People are like, who are you? It's great. Yeah, I'm addicted to watching that stuff, man. He is so funny. He wears those crazy-ass hot hats. And those big ass glasses. But he's getting recognized a lot lately. He's posting those too. But he'll just put something like big fan.
Coming back. Coming back the Dice Man.
Hell dude, yeah.
What a legend he is, man.
How was it? Oh, so the biggest person you opened up for is that Uncle Laser? Like oh, you went on, that's the one you went on
like he took you to shows,
right?
Yeah, well, he came by the pod and did the pod, and right as we were wrapping up the pod, he was like, what, y'all do comedy? And Cassio and I were like, yeah. And he was like, well, y'all want to open up for me in Mobile? And we were like, on the pod, I was like, don't you want to know if we're good or not? Like, you do this all the time. You got to get burned 9 times out of 10 just going, you do comedy? Come on down.
Yeah, right.
He goes, man, it's y'all's dick to eat. Y'all come on down. And we killed it down in Mobile that night. And he was like, y'all want to go to New Orleans? And I was like, hell yeah, I guess we'll go to New Orleans. And we went to New Orleans and didn't have as good of a show, but it was the audience. There was only like 50 people there, but yeah, and we hit it off with him. We had so much fun when we would go out afterwards that, like, man, I'm telling you, like, being good at comedy is, of course, important. But if you're a good hang, you'll get opportunities so much quicker than somebody that's an absolute nightmare to deal with off stage.
Who are you telling? We got a couple.
Yes, we do.
I know. There's comics on our scene that are tough to hang out with off mic, but on stage, they are killers. And I was like, man, it's amazing the contrast, the difference. I enjoy you so much. And as soon as your foot gets off the stage, I'm like running from you. Like somebody rolled a grenade under the door, you know? But that's y'all are laughing because y'all know comics like that.
Yeah. There was a thing that happened recently.
Yeah. It was a whole.
You preach it to the choir.
And what are we doing?
Hey, look, y'all got to live in this scene. Be careful what y'all say on this spot.
Couldn't give less of a fuck. I'll tell you that. He does. Come at me, bro. I just don't like when people try to like bite the hand that feeds you. So, you know, we all came in. People were being nice enough to like invite us to shows. And they do that to a lot of people, even if they're not good yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, you still need that experience to get on a show. And they put them on shows. They put them on pay gigs. And then if something happens that they don't like, it's a big deal. We're exposing people now, or trying to expose people. And they're like, you can distance yourself from me. Fuck no, I'm not dissing myself from you. I'll go harder.
Yeah.
I'll go harder because.
And by the way, get out of the way. There's a line of people wanting that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
if you'll just get out of the way.
Bye.
Hey, next time, give me a 1 minute notice that you don't want to be there because I can replace it in that quick. You know?
Easy.
Yeah. I'm the same way about it, man. I'm getting less because I'm not doing anybody any favors by walking on eggshells around them. When somebody has a terrible set, I'll reach out to them personally, and they'll hit me back like, I didn't think I had that bad of a set. Well, I'm just here to tell you, you definitely had a terrible set, and I want to pair you up with such and such. I think your comedy is out there, and it's not like anybody else's. It's terrible, but I think if you would gravitate towards this person. So meet up with them and work, go over your premises, because some people just get up there and talk about their fucking day.
Yeah. Oh,
they start.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I got into my cubicle this morning and John, they think it's so crazy. And I was like, you're not setting up anything. You're just ranting, hoping you hit something there. And I'll try and pair. I really do want everybody to get better.
Mm-hmm.
There are lost causes out there.
Yeah.
In every market.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to push them in the direction where they're going to be. They're probably good at something. They're probably great at something. So the sooner you get them going in that direction, it's always a tragedy when somebody quits. I don't want anybody to quit, but there are some people that should really focus their attention towards other stuff.
And there is a lot of stuff to be around comedy. Like we're talking about, if it would be the shit if we had somebody that knew funny who could edit the pod. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes. You don't want to trust
tight
everybody.
Shots on people's faces.
Because you know, you want to get in there, you want to get the reaction when somebody says something and bounce it off, but you don't trust everybody with that. But it'd be so good because, like you're saying, it takes away from your writing ability. And when do you have time? You got a job, then you got to do this, you got to do that.
I get it, dude.
And then, but like some people, and most people are not going to make it in stand-up, but you can always still do stand-up, but then you can focus a little bit of time on, I could be good at this. I can be good at sound. I could be good at producing something.
Yeah.
I could be good on putting on shows. You know what I'm saying?
You can make shit funny by editing it. You can edit stuff wasn't funny, and you can insert a moment that wasn't even there. We do it all the time. One of the guys on our pod bombs all the time. And we'll pause and do that kind of thing on Dukes of Hazzard where they're like, now this old boy right here, no, that you'll have the Dukes of Hazzard thing crashing into a ground. Yeah, well, you can insert stuff like that into a pod and make it really funny, and like tight shots on the face and pauses that aren't there. We have, you know, act like everybody's nodding off. Like after you get done with the episode, hey man, there was a moment in there. It'd be funny if we did this. Can we just get a tight shot of y'all just like drifting off to sleep?
That's badass.
And go back and edit and do stuff like that.
You gotta start doing that.
Oh yeah, when somebody says something not funny, be like, "Great episode, dude!" And then later they watch it and they're like, "Son of a bitch, they got me."
You need people like that though, man. Mm-hmm. Like, because producing is a whole different skill set than doing stand-up.
Yeah, I saw Homeless Pimp last night that works for Hey Babe. And I look over, I got a picture of him, but he was right beside the stage. He works for Bargatze full time. I see why he started backing off of DeStefano's whatever his solo pod is.
Yeah,
Chris of Chaos. And then he backed out of Hey Babe. I was like, oh. And I noticed he produced a special for a lot of comics, and so
I didn't know he backed off because Chrissy came in hot. Chris DeStefano came in hot, yeah. And then he kind of his stuff doesn't even pop up on my shit anymore. I don't know why. I didn't know that Homeless Pimp left.
He left his solo pie first, and then he left Hey Babe, which was his moneymaker. And I was thought, who is he working for? And then I saw his name start popping up on like producing specials, and he's out with Nate full time now.
Because I seen something. He popped up on my Twitter, Homeless. That's crazy you just said that. Yeah. He literally just popped up on my Twitter, and he was like, shout out to this person, gave me a shout out on stage. He had the clip. It probably was Nate Bargatze.
Yeah.
And then he was like, it's so badass to work with him. That's crazy.
Yeah. I look over and I look right beside the stage. I'm right there by the stage, and he's taking a picture of Nate's dad, and I took a picture of him and tagged him, and then 2 minutes later I got a notification that he shared it on his pro.
Was that you then?
Yeah. You saw his share of it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
okay.
Funny.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you're in a legend, man. And he said, thanks, dude.
Hell yeah.
It's crazy. Some of the guests we've gotten on our pod, I've literally just DM'd them. That's how I got Eric Griffin.
We were just talking about Eric Griffin. We love Eric Griffin.
Yeah.
And
but I know how to word shit. Like, that's what he said.
I get
1,000 of these emails a day, but I could tell you're an industry guy by the way you approached it. You didn't fanboy out. You were just like, hey man, see, you're doing a gig. It's 80 miles from us. If you want to pop in and do a pod. And it was all about how I worded it. But yeah, they popped right back. Same thing with Adam Ray. Now that price tag's a little steeper.
Yeah.
I almost replied back, we'll take two of them, buddy. 7 and 9 o'clock. Let's get them going. 80 grand, we got it. But yeah, that's, you know, you'd be amazed at how sometimes they'll just reply. Now, sometimes they won't. You know, we had Ari Shaffir on the hook for the longest time, and then it, like 2 days before, it fell apart. His agent's fault. His agent's pretty greedy.
So do you email the comic himself or herself or the agent? Okay, the comic.
I couldn't get him to. We even know Big J, and Big J's like, I'll get Ari to come do it, and it's just like not it's not a priority with them, you know. Can you imagine like bringing up to your if you're in the New York comedy scene being like, there's this podcast in Alabama you really should do. You're not going to spend any time.
Even if you're going to think about it for a second.
If you even remember it once,
yeah,
that'd be all you say about it in passing. If he's like, I don't know. And he's like, well, it's a fun podcast to do. It was pretty cool. I hung out with the guys all night. They took me out and treated me really well. And even that, I mean, it's a push and pull thing. Like when you're at this stage and you're trying to get followers, they don't need you. You need them.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
When the tables turn and like Joe Rogan wants you to come do something, well,
oh, you're
ears you up. Need him.
Like, no matter who you are.
If you're moving, that moves tickets being on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And doing good or bad, it still moves a bunch of tickets. And it's just a push and pull thing. You'll fight that forever.
But like you said, it's comics out there who are just comics. And they're like, you know, these guys are trying to do something. Like you said, I listened whenever Eric was telling you. It was like the way you worded it. And just doing that and going the extra mile, they might be like, you know, hey, yeah, I'll go on there.
Yeah.
And that's cool. You guys get big news. You had Chris Hansen. Watch the X5 podcast. Yeah, yeah. They had my boy X5. Chris Hansen on this, there.
We've had him on there three times now. I'm telling y'all right now, that's the most exhilarating thing to watch is them film. They film it right behind the studio. We have a house, and they do the stings out of there. The chatters, they're called chatters. They come in 2 days before, and they start throwing bait out in the water and get to establishing. And it's amazing how many people within minutes are just. They have 100 people on the line wanting to come over.
Jesus.
And they'll Christ. Do. They have two scenarios they sell. It's a mother pimping out her daughter.
Okay.
And just a daughter looking for money. But it's all prostitution-based bait. So they're out there saying, one's a mother pretending to, like, solicit her daughter for sex.
Yeah.
And it is insane how many people get on the hook. So then Chris comes in on, like, a Friday or Saturday or Tuesday. And it depends on what he comes in on different days. But he comes in for 2 days, usually 48 hours. And, buddy, they just get him to pop over. And they're in Coleman, and they're in Aniana, and they're in Huntsville. One of the guys they got was a baggage carrier for American Airlines at Huntsville Airport.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Shit. That's fly American, dude. Shit. Fucking pedophile touched my shit.
Yeah, man. I know. Damn it. But, man, listen. Okay, so I'm there watching it. Of course, our podcast studio has these live feeds aimed at the house. And inside the house, they have cameras all set up. And we're in the studio lobby just watching it.
That's crazy.
And dude, we had Dave Williamson, which is Bert's opener for the longest time. He came in just to watch it. And, dude, we're drinking and partying and having fun. And they got these people on the hook. And it's so exciting. They're, like, pulling in the driveway. I was like, oh, my God, it's happening right here.
That's crazy,
dude. And then some people run for it, which is crazy because, let me tell you, there are at least, like, 60 sheriff and deputies behind a wall just wishing you wishing you would run. They can't wait.
They ready to tackle that ass.
They've been sitting there with pent up energy for days waiting for this to happen. And buddy, some people run for it and they maul them sons of bitches, dude. They maul them
foaming at the mouth. Just get that 2 year old, dude.
They'll get it. They got six in 2 days. The time I did it, I watched them. Dude, they were about to catch somebody else, and I had Tool tickets. I had tickets to go see Tool, like $250 tickets. And I was like, I can't skip this, but God, I don't give a shit about Tool, dude. It's the most exhilarating thing to watch them bust these guys.
Do people ever come there and then dip off? Like, they feel it out?
Dude, it's crazy. Some people, one of the guys they caught was a private investigator. That was his job. So before they'll do this shit, too. They'll tell the chatter they're 30 minutes away, but they're already there. And they're going in front of the house and driving. Wow. That's why they got to clear it. As soon as they catch somebody, they got to turn it over and get them out of there, because who knows if any of the other people are doing the same thing. But this guy drove by several times, said he was an hour or 30 minutes away, and kept looked at the property, looked online, since he's a private investigator, looked up who owns the property, who owns the building next to it, all that kind of stuff, trying to gauge it. And her name, see if her name matched up. It's the same last name as the owner and all that kind of stuff. And he still went and met him. Still got busted. But it's crazy, dude. These guys know. And it's all guys, by the way. Never have they ever busted a girl doing it. I was like, well, y'all really? Need to start looking at these high schools, because that's where that shit's going down.
And they're hot teachers. We didn't have that shit.
I missed out.
Yeah. Hell no. I'm doing a bit about this, my closer, but I'm telling you right now, if that was an option in high school, I'd have been way better in school.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, sign me up for extra tutors. I'll be there, son. I'll figure it out eventually. But yeah, he said it's never once been a girl. And these guys know there's a 20% chance that it's going to be Chris Hansen, and they're still willing to gamble it, dude. Still willing to do it, knowing 20% chance. It could, if there was a 20% chance that plane was crashing, would you get on that fucking
plane?
I don't care if it was full of hot whores and Russian prostitutes.
Okay, now you're putting it there.
You're putting it like that, it is maybe worth it. I mean, like, I need to see how hot they are, honestly.
Damn.
But we asked him, and we're like, dude, since you know there's so many out there, aren't you like feel like you're not even you're just barely chipping away at a tiny little fraction of it? He's like, no, it's rewarding, and we are deterring people from doing it.
He has to be deterring people.
Every person they bust, it saves 25 kids from getting.
Oh shit!
Roughly, it's not exact science, but roughly 25 kids get saved for every person they do it.
Oh, okay,
that's dope.
It is dope, man, and he's gonna continue to keep coming back and doing it. And I was like, you think there's some around here? He goes, it ain't about being around here. We can set this up anywhere in America.
Anywhere.
Downtown New York to, you know, Blount County, Alabama. It doesn't matter. They will drive from Virginia to come down here.
Wow.
He goes, remember how desperate you were back in the day? If you saw a hot girl, you wanted to, you would drive states away to go meet her, right? And I was like, yeah. But I preface it with, she was of age, though. Let's get that clear before I get into this. But I feel like you're setting me up, Chris. But he's like, they're the same way. I mean, they're just like, it's just strange to them. They just have a mental, you know, they're mentally crazy.
I was watching your episode, one of them where he was on there, and one of the hosts was like, hey, it's good to see you, Chris. And I was like, damn, nobody's ever said that before.
Oh, dude.
If you see rare. Chris, it's a bad day for you.
Yeah. Some of them, I mean, a lot of them know who he is, and they ask for, they're like, oh, I love your show, man. You're really saving people. And he was like, but you're one of the people I'm saving people from. Like, it's crazy to hear them give him accolades.
They're deluded. They they're deluded in their sickness. I mean, it has to be a sickness if you, like you said, if you're going 20% chance that it's going to be a sting, and you still do it. You have to be so fucked up.
Guys say the craziest stuff to get out of it too. This last guy, right as they're about to shut off cameras and put him in the car, he's like, "Well, it's not like I could have sex anyway. I shot my dick off last year."
Oh,
and he was like. Man. Say that again now. What did you say? I was like, yeah, I would have heard dollar bills going up, man. I was like, we just sold some advertisement, buddy. That's a whole new episode. Now let's unpack this. Tell me about shooting your dick off. And he goes through the whole thing with him about shooting his pecker off. It's on True Blue. It's called the old network ABC owned To Catch a Predator.
Yeah, so they have to
call it Takedown now with Chris Hansen, but it's the same show, buddy. It's you could put that thing on any network, and it's C-SPAN. That thing would take off, dude. It's so awesome to watch.
Yeah, because he does it right. I know it's myself, but like Chris Hansen baits him in, you know, makes him feel comfortable. Like the new ones on the internet, they just go too hard at him. You know, they're trying to drag him.
He said there's copycats on the internet. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
there are.
But they're not copycats because they're not doing it right. Like they just go, but oh, you're trying to meet a 14-year-old girl. We're telling everybody it's a 14-year-old girl. But like people want you to embarrass them by making them.
Or just see what they're thinking. Yeah, that's what Chris does.
And then, you see everything that they're about, and then you bust them, you know, in a calm way. If you're just up there screaming at them, we don't get to know nothing about the guy.
That's true. I said, what if somebody's like, I plead the fifth, I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
Because you don't have an episode at that point. And he was like, no, we have an episode. We go through and they don't have to say shit to us. We can just sit there and go through the transcripts of, so you told this girl you'd like the F or and the B and like all this kind of stuff, that they'll just read that out, which is way more embarrassing for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
True.
He would probably rather just have you interview him and see what he was thinking when he came up there, because they all try and back out of it. Man, one of the guys they called on this last one worked at a Toyota dealership in Birmingham, and he left work to go do it. And he looks like Kenny Rogers before the surgery, but he looks like Kenny Rogers, like just a nice, well-to-do old man with nice car he pulled up in, well clean, well kept.
And what was he there to meet?
15-year-old girl.
Girl, man, okay.
And he's 70, which I asked him, I go, why isn't the first question to these guys, hey, man, knowing how this thing kind of works, what makes you think a 15-year-old or any age woman would sleep with you like a struck match? You're like 800 years old, and you have that look of a pedophile. But not all of them have that look.
Yeah.
Some of them look very normal. One of them was the old mayor of Aniana's son.
Is that why? Because did he get taken down? One of my friends was telling me this. I don't know how true it is, but that he got taken off the network because he called somebody higher up.
No.
No, that's not it?
No.
Okay.
I didn't ask him that. That'd be a great question. Maybe you should interview me. I was just in there dicking around with my own thoughts. So you're asking like power or like hard hitting questions. That would have been good to know. Why aren't you on the network anymore? Well, he probably, here's the deal. Honestly, he didn't own the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
He was an employee of Dateline at mm-hmm. the point. So now he owns part of True Blue, okay. which is the network he's on.
Negotiations, probably. And,
yeah, and just he makes more money running the yeah. show on his own. He probably had to take a big leap of faith doing it that way, but low, you know, high risk, high reward.
Yeah,
true. That's the kind of shit that goes with it.
Hell yeah. So we got this out here. That means it's the end of the episode. Before we go, let's pull up these pictures. Our intel guy gave us some pictures, and I just want to...
Oh, if this is a me and the band, I'm really never going to forgive you for this.
Take a full screen real quick. Yeah, get that out. They got the line on panties.
Yeah. Hell you yeah. know how long it took us for to move those? We thought that was such a genius idea. We didn't know that every guy in the world would be like... so disgusted if they pulled down a girl's pants. It's like, well, if they've been here, I'm out.
Yeah, and then there's more. Hold on, let me throw it down here.
Oh, you got the bird. I like how Jack put the bird.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't remember that picture at all. I'm telling you, I used to drink a lot.
Sound like me now?
Yeah.
There's Birdie. Oh,
Birdie Boy.
Chrysler? Yeah, he was at the Stardome, and that's where I met Dave Williamson that opened up for him. But, yeah, we just hung out at the bar. I was like, I know this dude. He'll be at this bar at some point. So just the whole room emptied out. Everybody left, and we just parked our ass at the bar. And I've hung out with him several times since then, though.
He's cool. Cool. Hey, he has to be cool.
Man. Oh, yeah.
I met his daughter.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, his shows are kind of like pep rallies, they feel like to me. Mm-hmm. They're not as much comedy shows as it's just... what you know what's great about Bert, and to talk me about this about comedy, is that you can develop your own brand of it. You only need 1% of people to fuck with you. And if you get that 1%, it doesn't matter if a true comic like Dave Attell writes better jokes than you. It doesn't matter. He's filling up arenas talking about his family. So it gives me hope that, like, I may not be the best joke writer. I want to be, but mm-hmm. I may end up just being a storyteller. And that's kind of what he is. And there's a market for all of us.
Hell, you know? Yeah. True. Like, whenever I was on Kill Tony when he was on there. And then, you know, of course, I went looking through the comments, seeing what anybody said about me.
Yeah.
But all of them were just trashing Bert and Whitney Cummings. They hated them. But, like, I went to a Bert show. Sold out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what all these people say. All these they have hate YouTube channels dedicated to Bert Kreischer.
If I've and got they, those, dude, I've made it. Y'all exactly. kiss my dick. If I got a hate thing dedicated towards me, nobody that's doing something right don't have that going on.
Exactly. Well, I actually just started one, so it's getting...
Oh, for you?
It's getting...
I'm trying to get people to join in. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way of... That's a backwards way of doing it. That's great.
How you know you're doing it right?
Also, before we end the episode, I just want to say something about Jack Douglas, our research guy. First of all, fuck you for misspelling my name in this list. He wrote down, you had a list of comedians you were dying to see live. That was October 27th, 2022. Tim Dillon, Chris DiStefano, Shane Gillis, Santino, Bobby Lee, Mark Norman. And he wrote my name in here for some reason. And he misspelled it. And I know he misspelled it on purpose. Because that's how Dom always says my name, dude. But he put me right in between Dave Chappelle and Big J, dude. I'm just like Gerard Carmichael, dude. I'm like Dave Chappelle.
Who's y'all's list of people y'all hadn't seen yet? Y'all want to see? I know we need to wrap up. I'll talk to
you later. No. We're continue. Good. We're good. Yeah. I was doing that for you. Yeah. But we can go. But so mine is definitely... I saw
Dave. Timmy D, by the way. I got to see him.
You got to see Tim Dillon. Yeah. Tim Dillon's one of mine. Bobby Lee is one of mine. Like, I want to see him live because he doesn't have anything out.
Let me tell you something. He's putting something out.
Is he?
And I've asked every comic, why is Bobby Lee so popular and then he doesn't have one special out? They said he's been doing the same act forever.
Mm-hmm.
And every comic started to hold his feet to the fire, and now he's
finally going
to
release it.
He's going to release it, and it's forcing him to be uncomfortable and go out there and do it.
And not kill. Because I heard whenever you see him, everybody says he murders.
Yeah, it's razor sharp shit he's been working on for 20 years.
Probably.
Yeah, it's all like iron sharp as iron. He hadn't taken it out there and put it online. So,
one that's dead, but that's my boy, Norm MacDonald. I would always love to see that.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
I just like
the way he would go meet everybody. When he bombed, he'd go stand at the front of the club and shake your hand. And when he killed, you couldn't find him anywhere. I love that he would make eye contact with you after a big bomb and be like, thanks for coming.
That's bullshit. So,
that is, dude. That's baller
Damn,
shit.
Damn, dude.
Who is yours?
I was Theo Von. I was supposed to go see him, but something happened that day. I had to refund my tickets. Shane Gillis.
Yeah, he's on my. I still haven't seen him.
I'd love to see Shane Gillis. Bobby Lee would be good. I don't know anything about his stand up like you guys were saying, and then probably. Shit, he's dead, but I would have loved to seen Jerry Clower live because he was the first comedian I ever listened to.
I don't know who that is.
Clean comedian. He filmed a special in Clanton, Alabama called Peaches and Possums right next to the big peach statue. Dude, he was a clean comic, but he was so fucking funny, dude.
No,
so shit. Funny.
When did he die?
Oh, man, he was old, dude. That special came out in like 97, 98.
He died shortly after.
I think he died in like the early 2000s.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I never heard of him before.
Yeah, but he's like a southern dude. Just one of those guys that's naturally funny.
What about you, Brad?
Me, I would love to see currently right now either Joey Diaz.
Oh, dude. Yeah, that's oh, dude.
One. I should have said
that's a good one.
And he's such a hard one to see, dude. He's like, he don't want
to
do
that. He does it whenever he wants to. Cocksucker.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, I'm done. Didn't he say that at one point? He's like, I'm not doing stand-up anymore.
So. Is he on this Fully Loaded thing? Is he on any of those dates this summer?
I don't know if he's on any of
those. If they're doing one in New Jersey.
If he wants to, he's on it, though. You know, oh, it's yeah. one of those things.
Yeah. Here, I asked Bert, like, I hadn't seen him doing much at all, and Bert told me this in private. Probably shouldn't be saying it, but he's like, he gets a lot of advice from Joe Rogan, and he goes, the problem with Joe's advice sometimes is that it comes from 20,000 feet. Mm-hmm. He gives you advice from what he would do at his level, but Joey Diaz ain't Joe Rogan. So yeah, he can't, yeah. like, he can't, and he, you know, he's been known to cancel a lot of shows last minute, like renegotiating 2 weeks before the show, being like, yeah. I want this. And they're like, you already signed it for this. We're not budging on that. And he's like, I'm not coming. So I think he's had that happen with a handful of clubs across the country. And honestly, I don't think he likes leaving Jersey. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't like he said he doesn't do anything on Sundays. He needs to be back home on Sundays, and he like does what he wants to do. He's at that age now. He knows, you know.
Yeah.
He's just doing what he wants to do. But that's a great one. I would love to see
who else besides Jim.
And then I mean he's dead, of course, but Richard Pryor, because that's something that my grandmother introduced me to. That's how I learned about comedy.
Another live one.
A live one? Another live one I want to see today. Theo Vaughn, of course.
Dude, okay.
He's fucking hilarious, man. So random.
He's been around here, too. Y'all have had your opportunity.
He did Montgomery a couple years ago. I was going to go to that one, but I never bought a ticket. But when he came to the VBC, I was going to go then.
Yeah.
Then had some shit go down that day.
I mean, I've seen, too. Like, I did security for Mike Epps one time. So I got to see that.
God,
live.
He's one of my top five, dude. Mike Epps. Mm-hmm. Yes, dude.
You know Never Fade It, Feeling X-Rated?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I try to tell them. It's one of it's top five for me in specials of all time. It's so silly. It's so fucking funny.
Dude, I've seen him a bunch too. Him and Earthquake I saw together.
Oh, Earthquake.
Dude, when he would lay his school outfit on the night before and just walk past him for it, be like, kill their ass in the morning. I used to do that shit too. I'd get that first day of school outfit out there and lay it on the bed. I'm like, ooh, they ain't ready for me when I come in that school with that shit.
I would
shit.
Love to see a picture of your first day fit compared to Mike Epps. You know? Night and day.
Totally 180. Who do I have left now? What is it now? Because I've seen Shane Gillis is definitely one of them. And,
so you seen Sam Triplett?
No.
Sam Talent.
Oh, Talent.
Oh, I did. I met him.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
But he got me for a t-shirt, too. Son of a bitch. Who else is on that list?
Tom Papa.
Chris Rock.
Oh, Tom
Ooh,
Papa.
Ooh, Chris Rock?
Tom Papa.
I've seen Chris Rock.
Wow, man.
How'd you like
How
him?
How was that?
He's great. I saw him and Chappelle together. It was a miserable experience. But it wasn't them. It was just the arena full of drunk people.
Oh,
people,
yeah.
People screaming back at him after every joke. And then passing out on my wife on her back.
Oh,
I was like, that whole section was looking at her like, don't move. You got to take one for the team. Because he passed out against her back like this. And I was like, don't move. You wake this damn bear up. The whole section hates him. Like everybody's like giving her money. Please don't move. Please let us enjoy this show that we spent so much money for.
Damn, dude. Annie Letterman.
Oh, yeah, I love Annie.
I like her, too. I wouldn't expect her to be on there, but I like her.
Dude, my new favorite is Catherine Blanford. You know who she is.
Look her up, because I know the name.
She's gorgeous, too. She's really cute, yeah.
Let me see.
She's from Kentucky. She's
a K?
Yeah, Catherine Blanford. She opened up for Bert at the arena a couple weeks ago. She just filmed a special in Austin. Laser's friends with her. Blanford, F-O-R-D.
Oh, Blanford.
Catherine Blanford.
Blanford. Right here?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I never heard
of her. Right there. That, yes.
Okay, there we go.
She's awesome. She's way too cute to be a comic.
She looks like she could be on Fox News.
Yeah, she really does. Like one of their anchors, right?
Oh, my God. But, is that Rob Snyder?
Yeah, Rob Snyder,
man. Hey, she looks especially hot next to Rob. Rob was like a struck match. Look at her.
He looks like a younger picture.
Hey, he looks like somebody he caught on fire. Somebody put it out with an axe. He looks like a substitute teacher at Hogwarts. Look at him.
Like Animal from the Muppets.
Yeah. Yeah, oh Catherine just filmed a special in Austin with a big horse. She's from Louisville, Kentucky, I think. But she's great, and she's self-deprecating in a way where she talks about, like, I'm too hot to be doing comedy. I look like I should be selling prescriptions to people, you know, like a medical sales.
I think
sales.
I heard that joke, dude. I think I saw a clip of that.
Yeah, it pops up. She was on Jimmy Fallon recently.
Oh, she did that bit
on there. Yeah.
What's her name again?
Catherine Blaine.
Okay. You already are. Okay, Brandon has special needs.
That's okay, man. We all do. We're all undiagnosed and untreated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or self-diagnosed. That's what's so funny about comics lately. Like the asshole comics will be like, hey, man, I'm autistic, so you can't. Like, no, you're a dickhead, and you're using that as an excuse to talk to me the way you're talking to me. And I know you're not autistic. We have them on the scene.
Uh-huh.
You know. It's sprinkled around on a lot of them. We know Jake Muncy, dude.
Yeah, you can see it.
Yeah, but he's not an asshole. He's great.
He just talks to you like this. You know what I'm saying? He just looks like this, and then he says the funniest thing you've ever heard.
Like, you got to know autism. Comics use it way too much now. And there's definitely some on the scene, but they're not assholes. Like, most of the autistic guys I know, like Jake, he's a killer, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Jake's a monster.
I've got him on a show next. Is it next week?
Yeah, he told me you got him on like two.
I got him down in Orange Beach, and then he's going to be doing in front of a bunch of golfers on the 18th.
Oh,
Jake at the beach, dude. Could you imagine that?
He's still going to have cargo pants and a long sleeve shirt with a button up over.
Those aren't
that
fucking
hair
cargo
is
shorts,
great,
dude.
It's a mane.
It's wild. It's that Amelia Earhart fucking air sweep shit.
Yeah.
He's got it streamlined.
Y'all talking about that a lot, too?
Oh, yeah.
So I thought he was on this podcast, too. I thought he...
Oh, yeah.
He is on...
No, he's been on here, and we have him on, like...
doing skits and stuff.
Yeah, he's great. But it's just us three, and then Jack is our intel guy. Jake's the band. He's going to be on. He's doing one of our feature comedians on the 17th.
The Clown College.
The Killer Clown.
Killer Clown.
I'm going to try and come up to that.
You should, man.
That'd be badass if you came.
Yeah.
Put your name in the bucket, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be a good time.
And we just fuck with it.
That's fine.
And please.
You know I can take it. Though. I didn't get into this with thin skin, man. This is my shit. I love it. My Hack and Forth show, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I built it, made it all what it is, but I put the people that are best at what they do for that. They're all doing it. I got J-Dubs from Montgomery doing production. I got John McLernan. And we'll sub out a comic here and there for on the panel.
You got to sign up to get on there? Like, how do we get
to just be one that goes up?
Yeah.
You just sign up. Okay. There's a I'll give you a link to put on this when you put it out. Okay. Yeah, there's a sign up. If you go to Comedy Break-In. Instagram handle bio.
That's what we're going to do now. So this then, and first of all, thank you so much for coming.
This was the shit.
So anything you got coming up, we actually have it. You can go ahead and hand it to him. But anything you got coming up, say it right there. We'll have it on the side of you.
You know, is this some kind of joke? You know I can't read this shit. I got fucking glaucoma and you put it in the smallest font possible. Go ahead and read it off, David. You think you're cute?
Damn it, Jack, being ableist. The second ableist on the scene, ableist. Dude.
I guess the big thing to promote right now is to get tickets for that Stardom show. I can't stress this enough. You will be kicking yourself in the ass. And they're free. They're free. Now, let me tell you something. There is like a $3 charge for ticket fee or whatever. If you email me about that goddamn ticket charge, you can suck my dick, dude. It's a free ticket. You're going to get hit with a 2-drink minimum when you go in there anyway. It's free tickets. We're getting it to you. Yes, they may charge you $2 or $3 for a ticket fee, but go to thestardom.com, use promo code X5, get up to four free tickets. Here's a little inside baseball. You can get as many tickets. You can use that promo code 100 times if you've got that many friends. Now, I don't know many comics with one friend, but outside of the city, a lot of the comics down in Birmingham, I put them on shows thinking they'll bring 4 or 5 people. Not one person gives a squirt of piss about them. Dude, as a matter of fact, I think comedy is their social circle, and they have no friends outside of that. It's crazy. So, if you want to go, it's free. Definitely go to stardom.com. It's May 30th. Jesus. And it starts at 7:30. 10 comics. Winner gets $500. And then they compete at the end for $5,000 in August.
So. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And they pick wild cards too. If you're a comic and you don't win and it was close between you and somebody else, they'll probably snatch you up because there's only five events. Mm-hmm. And so for the finals, they need five more. So they're going to pull five wild cards. So, and I'm not in charge of picking them. I wish I was. They don't even ask me to vote on the final thing, which is crazy. I'm just in charge of gathering everybody up and feeding it to Bruce and Cassio and all those guys.
Hell yeah. And at David Lynam.
I am David Lynam on all social media. I am David Lynam, Lynam. And I need followers. I got none.
All right. Thanks again, man.
Dude, I had a blast.
Really appreciate this, dude. Hell.